Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Okay, hello everyone. It's Andrea Maxim here, and I am with my good friend Igor, who I think we met Igor, back in 2011 at that 48-hour clinical nutrition course, like right back when I first graduated. And so we've basically known each other for almost 4 years, if I'm doing proper math.
That flies.
Yeah, time does fly. So why don't you introduce yourself and give people a little reason why I think you're the bomb diggity and how you're going to help us healthcare practitioners dominate when it comes to marketing and especially getting our face in front of millions of people like you have.
Sure. Who I am is I have a personal training company. So I'm the CEO of a personal training company here in Toronto called Fitness Solutions Plus. I'm also the author of a book called Stop Exercising the Way You Are Doing It Now. The way I've grown my business is by doing a lot of public speaking engagements. But before I got to doing public speaking engagements, I had a lot of marketing failures, so to speak. 49 to be exact. I've tracked them all. I put them into a Word document. I analyzed what was the tactic, what did I try, what was the result, and 49 tactics, 44 failures.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's very well tracked. And as you can tell, I'm very anal about numbers. Eventually, I started to refine my methodology more and more and more. I wasn't comfortable with that many failures. So eventually, I tried to find some successes. And eventually, it brought me to public speaking. And thanks to public speaking, I've been able to grow my business to where it is right now, which is myself as well as 9 other personal trainers and 2 marketing staff on my team.
Amazing. And you just started off just you in a gym, one-on-one coaching, I'm sure.
Pretty much all I was a personal trainer, degree in kinesiology, no background in marketing or sales, nothing like that at all. I went out on my own after working for a gym, and then where's the clients?
Right.
I thought, oh, I'm a good trainer. In the gym, in the country club that I was working at, I was getting a lot of referrals. But now that I'm on my own, where are the referrals? So the first year in business was very, very tough. In that year, I did a lot of studying on marketing and sales to get my business up to par. And like I said, there were a lot of failures until eventually I started to get on to public speaking, which appealed to me as a small business owner. Like, I was a very shy speaker, wasn't confident at all, but I had a desire to make money.
Yes.
To be blunt.
Yes.
So I thought, well, I'm a small business owner. I don't have the budget or the time of a Nike, of a Microsoft, of an Adidas. I have my time and I have my knowledge of exercise and nutrition. So let me use what I have and do public speaking engagements. They don't cost anything and I'll have clients fairly immediately within, you know, a few days of the speaking engagement. So that really appealed to me as a small business owner.
Now, I'm just going to stop you there because that is the number one thing that I find most people are asking me and asking people of what to do is, booking speaking gigs is not necessarily difficult if you're willing to hustle and kind of put your name out there consistently. And guys, if you follow Igor on Facebook, he is like every week, I feel like you're posting, can't wait to talk in front of these people. And it's inspiring and amazing. But the number one question is, yeah, we can talk in front of all these people, but how is it that you improved your ability to speak to these people in such a way that you started guaranteeing, you know, I'm going to get 5, 10, 20% return on investment or return on your time of these people actually following you and walking into your gym and working with you?
Yeah, great question. To date, so I've been my business has been around for about 5.5 years. I've been doing public speaking for about 4.5 years. In those 4.5 years, I've done about 220 or so speaking engagements so far. So yeah, you're right, about 1 a week.
And anal about numbers.
And anal about numbers, yeah. I don't take that very lightly because numbers give me a lot of data. There are a lot of actionable data to act on.
Yeah.
So the first 40 speaking engagements I did, I got zero results, zero clients. However, people were signing up for my newsletter. So I thought to myself, well, okay, they might not be buying personal training, but they're at least on my newsletter and I get to communicate with them weekly. So they might not buy now, but they might buy a few months from now. But that wasn't good enough. I wanted to do better. So I started to refine my methodology in public speaking. I started to change a few things, tweak here and there. And again, very anal about numbers. I'll track how many people showed up to the talk. Of those, how many signed up for a for an assessment? And then of those, how many bought personal training?
Mm-hmm.
So at around talk number 40, I tried doing a different tactic. What I did was I printed gift certificates with an expiry date to come in for a free assessment, free fitness assessment that expires two weeks from the date of the talk.
Very smart.
Yeah. So I had a deadline. So a few people took me up on that. So that was a lot better than zero.
Yes.
But still not as good as I wanted to be. So then I spoke to our publisher, JG.
And so just a step back in case people don't know. Igor was the person who connected me with our publishing company, Black Card Books. So that's just where that little caveat came from. So JG is the CEO of Black Card Books. He is also the bomb when it comes to marketing and running a company. And I think they make millions of dollars every year. Yeah. So that's just a little background story behind that. Go on. Exactly.
So I spoke to JG about what I'm doing marketing wise. And he said, and when he said this, it like hit me in the forehead, like, why did I do this earlier? He says, stop offering 2 weeks, a 2 week offer. Offer it right then and there.
Yeah.
You sign up right here or if you sign up afterwards, it's $90. But if you sign up right here and right now, it's $20 or it's free. So I started doing that and conversions went through the roof. These days, if I speak in front of an audience, that's my target market. Like everything is qualified, the right age, the right location, close to my gym, etc. About 30 to 35 to 40% of them will actually show up for a $20 assessment. Of those, about 45% will actually buy personal training. So that's kind of like what my funnel looks like.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so there was a specific way that I started to design my talks in order to get those kinds of conversions. But the biggest thing I did was exactly JG's suggestion of just book them right then and there.
Now, this is something that I would like to start doing, but I feel like, you know, how people at the end of your presentation want to talk to you and ask more one-on-one questions. So does that mean that you had a personal assistant come with you to the seminar in order to have, you know, those people that are ready to invest? Here you go. If you still need to talk to me, I'm over here. How did you set that up?
Yeah. So positioning is very important. Here's the way I do it. If I'm speaking in the front of the room, at the end, after I give my pitch, no more questions. I love audience interaction. So I take questions right throughout the talk.
Yep.
But once I start my pitch, no more questions after that point.
And by your pitch, you mean this is when you're saying, okay, this is the special bonus for people who are here to offer your assessment.
Yeah, exactly. So, I gave 55 minutes of great content and fair enough. The last 5 minutes I used to talk about my services.
Perfect.
How we can help our clients. So once I launch into the pitch, I take no more questions. And then at the end, I say, thank you. I turn off my microphone. And say, if you have any questions, feel free to come up to me to talk one-on-one. I emphasize one-on-one. And that's it. Then I say, here's a piece of paper with a list of available times. There are, let's say there's 50 people in the room. There are 50 of you and there are 15 available times. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put this in the back right over here. And I walk towards the back and I show them where I put it down. And I'll be up front answering questions one-on-one. Positioning is very important. You have to put that piece of paper not close to you because people will be shy to sign up.
Okay.
Piece of paper close to the door. So people, as soon as they're walking out, they need to see that piece of paper. It's like casinos. If you go to a casino to get to the swimming pool, to get to the restaurants, you have to go buy the slot machines.
Right.
There's no way to get there without going by the slot machines. And I don't even know this. I've never been to a casino. but that's what I hear it's like. But say same thing, the same concept applies. Nobody should be able to leave the room without going by the sheet.
Okay.
Big crowd signing up for your thing.
Now, what if the 15 people that used up that sign up sheet, only one of them came and the other 35 would have been there, shown up, but there weren't any lists or like sign up slots? What do you do about that?
Yeah. So usually, as a speaker, we want 100% of the audience to sign up.
Right.
But that almost never happens.
Yeah.
You know that in a very high converting talk is about 20%. Okay. But the audience doesn't know that. As a speaker, as a professional who's done this, you know, hundreds of times, you know it, but the audience doesn't. So the audience, if somebody in the audience is sitting and they're thinking, this is a great offer, I'm going to sign up right now. But then they're thinking, this is such a great offer, probably everybody's going to sign up. Mm-hmm. But not everybody is having that thought.
Right.
Okay. So the ones who, so the 15 spots often fill up. But then if there's like one or two that want to sign up, but don't, they usually approach me and say, I want to sign up, but there's no spaces here. I say, no problem. Okay. Name down below and I'll contact you.
And then what's your actual conversion rate from those that sign up? Do they all show up for the assessment?
It's pretty darn close to 100%.
Good. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we have the idea, we have the gameplay. Of course, it takes your own vernacular, your own personality to make people engaged for the 55 minutes. So that's nothing that we can really teach today. But why don't you discuss some strategies that you use to get into the door and what places you find are easier to do talks at, ones that you really have to continue to ask and ask and ask if you even come across that. So I guess the blanket statement is, how do you book these talks?
Yeah. So the way I started out was when I was a very shy speaker, not very confident in front of an audience. All I did was I approached audiences who I didn't really care about getting as personal training clients. Like if they became clients, great, but I didn't really care about that. So who was that? High school students. Right. So I called local high schools and said, well, I'm a personal trainer in the neighborhood and I'm giving free talks about exercise and nutrition. Would you like me to come in and do a talk for you? Most high schools said no, and then three said yes. So after I did my talks for the three, just to as confidence boosters, I thought, okay, then now I feel good in front of an audience. So then I started to approach audiences that were more and more of who my target audience was.
Yes.
At least who I thought it was. So to date, the most profitable talks I've ever done have been for singles over 40. Okay, that's number one. Number two is engineers, specifically engineers in Qualcomm, a very large mm-hmm. software engineering company. And number three is for podiatrists, Ontario Podiatric Medical Association. So these have been statistically my highest converting talks, both from people in the audience to free assessment, as well as from assessment to sale, to personal training sale.
And can you think of any reason why that is? Is it just you? Is it the way you interact with your clients? Is it how you're promoting yourself? Because in our industry, we always say the people who need your services, you'll attract. So yeah. Is there any way that you sort of course, looking at the statistics, that's a big one. But why do you think it is that particular population? Because that's very interesting. I would have never, ever thought about any of those places.
I didn't either. I mean, I didn't approach them thinking this is going to be an incredibly profitable talk. I just said, well, okay, let's try it. And then when I look back at the statistics, I'm like, that surprised me. So I'm going to do more of what works.
Of course.
So it's your question of why do I think those talks have been so good?
It's sort of like, why those populations? And I know that's a very hard question to ask, but that's why I'm sort of curious.
It's an easy answer. The three biggest objections to personal training are time, money, and need to talk to your spouse. Okay.
Okay.
So think about it. Singles over 40, they have, you know, usually established, so they have time working 9 to 5. So it's not really beyond 5. They have weekends. So that's the time component. The money, well, they're over 40, so they have more money than somebody in their 20s.
Yes.
And in terms of talking to their spouse, well, they're single. There is no spouse.
Very clever.
Right? Engineers and doctors tend to have money and time. Okay. And usually when, you know, if you're pitching a $3,000 package to somebody who only makes $35,000-$40,000 per year, absolutely, they need to talk to their spouse. But to somebody making $150,000-$200,000 per year, $3,000 is not that big a deal. You don't really need to discuss that with your spouse. So that's in retrospect why those populations have worked so well.
Now, would you say it's the presentations that have single-handedly helped to multiply your business? And as far as I've seen, by 6 times in the past 5 years, is it predominantly this tactic? Yeah.
I have a website, I get referrals, but 90% of the growth has happened as a result of public speaking engagements.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's one of the most enjoyable parts of my business.
Now, I want to pick your brain about your 49 failures. And you don't have to go through all 49 because that's a little bit excessive. But
yes.
for us people that are potentially brand new, just brand spanking out of school, just starting up, what were some of your initial failures that you came across that you're like, oh, if I had known better, I never would have done that?
Where do I start? failure number one is advertising. So when I was just starting out, I was approached to advertise in a newspaper called, I think, the North York Mirror or the North York Guardian, one of those two. In any case, they told me there the circulation of that newspaper is 93,000 homes in North York. When you do the math, I'm thinking, okay, each home has between one and three people who potentially read that paper. So potentially that's between 150 and 200,000 people reading that paper, seeing my ad. That ad cost me $1,500. I'm thinking all I need to break even is just one client.
Sure.
You know how many clients I got out of that ad?
Zero.
Big fat zero. Okay. And because I'm so smart, I ran the ad twice.
Right.
So that was a big failure, advertising.
And this is newspaper advertising, not advertising.
Yeah, newspaper advertising. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about Facebook ads or Google ads or anything like that. So that was one massive failure. another massive failure, I wouldn't call it a massive failure, is starting up a website that didn't really look at conversions. Okay. So let me elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah.
I hire designers to design my website. Logical, right? You want a designer to design your website. Bad idea. Designers know pretty, they know professional. But good luck quantifying pretty and professional. You can ask 100 designers what's pretty and professional, and you're going to get 100 different opinions.
Okay.
I'm not interested in opinions.
Right.
I'm interested in numbers and facts.
Right. Okay. Apparently.
So after five websites, I've tried very simple websites. I've tried very complex websites, but the ultimate number, leads, was always the same, two per month. That was it. Okay. And my website was getting about between 2,000 and 2,500 visitors per month. But again, only out of that, only two leads per month. I'm thinking that's a very bad conversion, but it is typical. So I thought, okay, designers are not the people for this job. I need somebody who's more interested in sales as opposed to design pretty, you know?
Right.
So I hired what's called a conversion rate optimization specialist, CRO specialist.
Okay.
Not confused with SEO, search engine optimization. What SEO specialists do is they drive traffic to your website. They make sure that your site can be found by Google.
Yes.
But what's the point of having 10,000 visitors per month if your conversions are nil?
Right.
Right? Conversion rate optimization specialists enhance the conversions that you have with the traffic that you already have. So you need both. You need both an SEO specialist and a CRO specialist. Again, that's conversion rate optimization specialist. So I did hire a conversion rate optimization specialist, and he took my leads from about 2 to 5 per month with my old websites up to currently 8 to 9 per month, and we're working towards getting it up to 12.
Amazing. And what did he do?
He completely changed my site. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm breathing loudly because I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, completely changed my website. So my homepage used to be that it was a very nice homepage, but there was a lot of stuff you could do on it. You could go to the homepage, you can go to the about us, you can go to the contact us, you can go to the navigation, you can visit my blog all from the homepage.
Yes.
So there's about 20, 25 different things to do just on the homepage alone. He changed my website so that on the homepage, there is only one thing to do.
Yeah.
Actually, two things. Either you can click the button and book an appointment, or you can leave the website.
Oh.
There's only one choice. Okay.
If what about most of us will have buttons to join our newsletter?
Depending if that's on your homepage or if that's on your blog page. On your blog page, that's fine. On your homepage, very bad idea. Unless that is your main call to action.
Okay. Now that sounds scary to me a little bit because I like that my website looks like it offers more information and they can watch my videos on different tabs. I can totally see with regards to conversions, but does that not seem a little bit scary where people want to research you a little bit more?
Yep. So again, I have the numbers. If I didn't have the numbers, I think that's scary. But again, what did my numbers say? I got 2 out of 2,500 per month.
Right.
Okay. What's the worst good that could happen? I drop from 2 to 0.
Right.
Not a deal. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the best that could happen? I could get up to 3. I could get up to 4. I could get up to 5. So I figured, okay, let me test it out. Let me see what happens. The test was successful. The other thing that I did was I asked my CRO specialist for a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I no longer do risky marketing. Okay. I like to have guarantees, and call me cynical, but I feel like I'm only 28, but I feel like I have like 40 years in business. So I've wasted probably over $100,000 in a period of about 4 years on bad marketing investments. That ad that I talked about earlier, that was one of them.
Yes, totally. And I can definitely, I can almost hear the sales pitch that they give you, like, oh, this is going to do this. And we've already done the research already. And we're already seeing if you put these particular SEO numbers in, then you're guaranteed to get this, that, or the other thing. And they don't have any idea. Most of them. And I've been suckered into the newspaper advertising on 2 separate occasions. And that was an $8,000 waste of space.
Yeah.
So it was awful.
Yeah. So I no longer do marketing that doesn't come with either a guarantee or an extremely high probability of success. So what I did with my CRO specialist and what I do now these days is I always ask for a guarantee. I asked my CRO specialist, can you guarantee at least 12 leads per month?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I'd say, okay, no deal. But he said, yes, which shows me confidence, which means I can't lose my investment.
Right.
The guarantee went like this. He either gets me 12 leads per month or he keeps working for free until I do.
Okay.
Okay. So that gives me a lot of comfort, a lot of certainty that I know whatever happens, I won't lose my money. And even right now at about 8 or 9 leads per month, if he stops right here, I paid him $1,700 US. If he stops right here, I will have already seen my return back many times over, because that conversion, I started getting 8 or 9 leads per month about a year and a month ago. So how much money did I make through my website? Way more than the $1,700 that I invested.
Absolutely. Even with the poor conversion rate.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's getting better and better.
Right.
So that's
another one. Canadian dollar conversion rate.
Oh,
it's
yes.
So awful.
Yeah, exactly. Not so good. Although I hired him when the conversion rate was better.
Oh.
But that's another big mistake I made, not asking for guarantees. Live and learn. You know, that's a $100,000 education. That's what it costs to get an MBA.
Yes. And I thank you for that, because I do not want to be in that same position. Now, how about now you're in 3 years, 4 years into your business. I'm sure there were some learning moments then too. What were some of the ones you learned after that, that really kind of, not didn't sting, but they're just sort of those I'll never forget that type failures, if you will.
Failures. Well, there are so many leaks in a bucket. And this is an idea that comes from Dan Kennedy. He's like the godfather of direct response marketing. Like, I love the guy's books.
Mm-hmm.
Especially one of my favorites is the No BS Ruthless Management of People and Profits.
Fantastic.
Okay. Highly recommend it. But I learned that there's leaks. In any business, there are leaks. So sometimes, yes, you do have a lead issue, but sometimes you don't have a lead issue, you have a conversion issue. For example, as it pertains to my case, the first part was I was getting leads. So I was in front of audiences, but again, the audiences were converting. So I made the changes that I talked about earlier, and audiences started to convert better. Then there was another leak that once they're face-to-face with me, I was a very shy seller. Right? I didn't want to overwhelm them with sales, but then they left and A, they didn't benefit from my services. And then 6 months later, they're still where they are.
You know? Right.
They're not any leaner. They don't have any more energy. They're still unhealthy. So I was doing my prospects a disservice by not selling harder. So I tried to change my selling methodology. And eventually what I started doing was I just opened up a Word document, and before a sales meeting, or that's what I call it, but it's really a fitness assessment. Before a fitness assessment, I would in that document say goal for today. And it's not a broad goal like make a sale, but a very small goal like anchor. By anchoring, it's a psychological tactic that says that if you say a high price, then a very high price, then a high price doesn't seem as high. For example, if you say the number 10,000, well, 3,000 doesn't seem so bad.
Yes.
So very small skills to work on. So I made that my goal before each fitness assessment, just a tiny little skill to work on. And then after the sales meeting, what I would do is in that same Word document, I have a little section says what went well. So what did I do that advanced the sale? And then what could have done better? What could I have done better next time? And then the following sales meeting with a different person, there would be hopefully more things in the what did I do well, and then fewer things in the what could have done better, to the point where now my conversions in face-to-face sales meetings is about 51%.
Okay. So I'm just going to walk through what your business model is like. Predominantly, it's booking gigs, talking in front of all these people, getting at least 15, if there's 50 people there, to sign up for a free assessment.
$20 assessment, actually.
Oh, it's $20, but they still have to come into your gym in order to do it.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. Now, the actual price for that fitness assessment is, ideally, $90.
$90, okay. Yes.
So, once you get them into the door, how long is the fitness assessment?
The fitness assessment can range anywhere from 45 to 60 minutes.
And does it cost you anything to do it other than your time?
Not at all.
And then from that point, do you then book the sales meeting or do you say, okay, everything's good, come in a week from now?
The assessment is the sales meeting.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm saying. That's just like my terminology as a salesperson or a CEO, whatever, versus their terminology as a prospect. To them, it's a fitness assessment. To me, it's a sales meeting.
So this is something that I've been doing a lot of this year. And I was actually thinking about it in the car yesterday when I was driving home. I was like, I wonder how much money I have given away in free consults, but that have really benefited my bottom line in the long run. Because as naturopaths, and this is the only practitioner space that I can really confidently talk about, is we always offer 15-minute consults. Okay.
Right.
We are so afraid to offer anything more than that that's for free for fear of, oh my goodness, my hour visits are $160. And if I give all these hour visits away, yada, yada, yada. Keeping in mind that we can't offer packages like you do. However, we can definitely meet that level somewhere along the line with regards to lab testing and supplements and having them come in for repeated consultations. So in the very beginning, were you still offering 1 hour visits or did you have the same hesitancy that we had where I don't want to give my time away for free or I only want to do a quick one-on-one and whatever?
Well, that's it's a little bit different because in the personal training industry, the 1 hour meeting is standard. So you never even thought about doing a 15 minute or you never even thought about doing a 90 minute. It's just standard. But I also borrow from other industries to see what works there. In other words, nobody in my industry does public speaking. That's just not the way they generate leads. Okay. Huh. So when you borrow from other industries, you enhance your own abilities. Or another thing that I borrow from a different industry is the debt collection agencies. Okay. You know how they get, the first time you get a bill or you get a letter from them, it says, this is your first notice. And they're fairly gentle about it and so on. The second time you don't pay your bills, they send you a second letter. They're a little harsher. Okay. The third time you don't pay your bills, well, then they get even harsher. And eventually they say, we're going to send somebody after you to basically, hit you with a club.
Right.
Or something like that. Don't use those words. But I borrowed the same tactic from that industry. So, I don't close 100% of my sales in my face-to-face sales meetings, but that doesn't mean that they won't close ever. Some people, when they say, I need to think about it, truly need to think about it.
Yep.
Now, oftentimes it is a stall, but sometimes they truly need to think about it. Okay. So what do you do in those cases? 2 days later, after the sales meeting, if they still haven't given me an answer back, which 99.99% of the time they haven't, I then send an email from Dan Kennedy called a appointment/no-sale letter saying, well, these are the typical reasons why people don't buy. Usually, if I've done my job right, people buy personal training. They see the value in it. They understand it. And here are the two or three most common reasons people don't buy. So you state the reason and you give a rebuttal in a couple of sentences after that.
Of course.
And then under all the reasons, you say, if for whatever reason I miscommunicated anything or made you upset, whatever, so you put the blame on yourself, say, give me a call, send me an email, let me know what I did wrong. And another 32% after that close. When they receive that email, they buy personal training.
Okay. And how would they do that through the email? Do they call in and purchase it or do you have a sales button?
No, just in the email, they say, okay, I'm ready to go.
Okay.
In which case I say, okay, this will be your personal trainer. Let me give you a call. I'll get your credit card information. And the personal trainer will give you a call to set up your first session. And we go, and away we go.
Excellent. Now, what's the second email?
The second email is a very simple one-line email. Says, hi, and then their name, comma, I'm not sure if you got my last email, ... question mark, send. That's it.
And then what do people do with that?
Usually after the first email, about 30 or 40% respond. To those who don't respond, they get the second email. And that's it. It ends right there.
But do you get sales from that one? Are people like, oh, no, I didn't mean to miss your email?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Oh, I didn't mean to miss your email. Now, again, not 100% of people will buy, but as a result of implementing this, again, that's another hole in the bucket that you've plugged.
Amazing. And that's so simple. And I think that's very tangible for what we can do if we have a free consultation. Or I've definitely had people email me and say, I'm curious about what it is that you do. And then you just never hear from them again. And this is a very important thing that I think everyone listening should do as well, is you do have to keep track of all of your leads. You do have to write down all the emails that you get in and make note of who booked and who didn't book. And if somebody canceled, you have to make note of who canceled so you can call and book them back in.
Yes.
I find humans are very good at forgetting a lot of things. And the more, even myself, I need a lot of handholding and a lot of coaching just to get me into the door. And it's for no other reason than I'm just not thinking about it. It's not that I don't want to go. It's not that I don't want to book with you. It's that I was like, oh, crap, I meant to do that 2 weeks ago and I completely forgot. But if you don't come back into the picture again, then the next naturopath or the next nutritionist or the next personal trainer is going to say, oh, hey, I'm new. What do you think? And they're like, oh, yeah, I meant to book in with a personal trainer or a naturopath. And here you are. Perfect. So it seems like it's good timing, but that could have been you the whole time.
That's exactly it. And if people also don't sign up with you, well, that's why that's a fantastic reason to have a newsletter. At the very least, they're getting your newsletter that you're still communicating with them on a regular basis. So if they don't buy now, they might buy in a few months, maybe a few years.
Yep. And I can say that actually happened to me yesterday. So I don't offer like a free nutrition assessment. But what I do is I physically record the presentation right then and there, which I say at the very beginning of my presentations, I say, just to save you guys from writing and scrambling massive notes, I just want you to enjoy the next hour. I am recording this entire presentation. If you want a free recording, sign up. And everybody wants to sign up. Very rarely do people not sign up. And then they get the free recording. They can listen to it again. And I only allow it for 7 days that they can listen to it for free. And then at the very bottom, after the 7 days, it says, click here to download for a lifetime. Because we've talked about this, about residual income in previous podcasts as well, is I then sell that presentation for $497 for the rest of my life. And then if not, then it automatically puts them onto my newsletter list, because I'll also say on that sheet, do you want to sign up for the newsletter list? Now, in Canada, we have to be very careful, right? We can't just automatically put somebody on the list. So I then take a picture of all that sign up and put it onto my Google Docs, so that if they were to ever come after me, because it's probably going to be easy money in 2017 when that whole thing changes over, I can say, well, you actually said yes to sign up to my newsletter. Bottom line is somebody actually just came in yesterday. They bought one of my online weight loss programs for, I think it was $47, and they're not a patient. And I just offered them a free 15-minute body composition and inches, and it was awesome, right? It just goes to show that it does work. And I think she saw my presentation maybe 3 or 4 months ago. So you just never know when these people are going to be ready for you.
Exactly. And sometimes if it has been months, you just send a very simple email. Hi, name, comma. Are you still interested in fill in the blank with whatever they were interested in? If they told you weight loss, are you still interested in weight loss? That's it. Leave it at that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if people delete it, they delete it. But at least you put the effort out there. And if you don't try, you're never going to know or, you know, that sort of thing.
There's an excellent app out there called Signals by HubSpot.
And what is this? It's an app?
It's an app. It's an app that you can install on your laptop. And here's how it works.
Sorry, what is the name again? I missed it.
Signals.
Signals. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Signals by HubSpot. Fantastic app. Have you ever wondered that why is somebody not responding to my email? Did they get the email or read it and then decide not to respond, or did they just not get the email?
I always wonder that.
Yeah. Signals tells you whether they actually read the email and didn't respond, or they just didn't read the email.
How do you connect it?
It's free. You just Google HubSpot Signals and that's it.
But how does it connect to your newsletters that are being sent out?
To my, well, newsletters are, this is not newsletters, it's just emails, my Gmail account.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Fantastic app. I highly recommend it.
Now, do you use AWeber or anything like that for your e-newsletters?
MailChimp.
MailChimp. So does it connect to MailChimp too?
No, but I don't. MailChimp doesn't, you don't need to connect it to MailChimp because MailChimp tracks it by itself.
I see what you're saying.
Letters will track it by themselves. So you don't need that kind of thing for them.
Got it.
It's just for Gmail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you, I'm sure people in your field come up to you and ask you all the time, you know, how do you do it? What are you doing? And I want to ask you, and I've seen that you've worked with the Naturopathic College, you've worked with a number of different health and wellness industries. What would you say are the most common either complaints or areas that we are the weakest in that could be preventing us from becoming successful in this industry?
It's a tough one to answer because I think it's more of a personality thing, not a habit thing.
Okay.
Like here's what my day looks like. If I'm awake, I'm working. Like I kid you not when I say I don't have a social life. I work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. My last day off work was January 1st, 2009.
Right.
That's seven, a little bit years ago. My last vacation was 2005. So it's a personality thing. I don't find it. People say you work hard. I don't perceive it to be hard work because it's enjoyable. You know, the only part that's not enjoyable is kind of like working with, no offense, human resources people, who sometimes I kind of want to choke. But other than that, it's pretty enjoyable. Yeah, it's a personality thing. Like there's nothing that gives me more pleasure than working on my business. Like it gives me more pleasure working my business than being on a beach in the Bahamas. It gives me more pleasure working my business than being on a European tour. So to me, it's kind of all consuming. So I wish there was a different answer, but that's what I think it is.
Well, and that's a wonderful thing for us to know. And again, remember, because I think there's a lot of people that graduate and they're like, oh, I can make a good amount of money working 2 days a week. Unfortunately, it's just not like that, especially in the first 4 to 5 years. And I can attest to that too. Mind you, I do work 4 to 5 days a week. So I have had days off more than you. But I guess my question comes around for the people that are coming to you for advice. Have you found where they're like, oh yeah, I could do that, but oh yeah, that's a good idea, but you know, where we block ourselves from achievement.
Yeah. Why do your patients come to you as naturopathic doctors? Because could they do the research online and get the information? Sure. Does it help to have accountability? Yeah. And same thing in the personal training industry. Do people know they need to eat more vegetables and a little bit less processed food? Yeah. Why don't they do it? Because they have nobody to be accountable to. So same thing here. Like if you have a business or a marketing coach, it's much easier to stay on track. Even if you don't, you can kind of self-blackmail. You basically tell a bunch of people about your goals and, you know, 3 months down the line, well, everybody's asking you, how's it going?
Right.
If you fell off the bandwagon, you'd be pretty embarrassed to say, I fell off the bandwagon.
And I think there's actually sites where you can say, if I don't lose 10 pounds in 2 months, I will pay the IRS $10,000, you know, something that you definitely don't want to do. And it holds people accountable.
Yes. The website is STICK, STICKK.com.
And you know what? That brings me to my next point, because when I interviewed you for my book, Maximized Health, I think you gave me that particular tip. So there's a lot of us that want to write a book too. And why don't you describe how that process went and how you got started with Black Card Books? And you may even want to give the title of your book as well.
Sure. The title of my book is called Stop Exercising the Way You're Doing It Now. And if people want, they can get it for free at stopexercisingbook.com. But when I got started with Black Card Books, I was already a two-time author. I already had two books to my name. The Black Card Books book and the Stop Exercising book, that's my fourth book. When I was self-publishing, it was more passion books. It was stuff that I was more interested in. Like how do you train athletes? Like myself, I'm an athlete. I used to compete in martial arts, not compete in powerlifting, but I don't really have the best physique for martial arts. Yeah, I'm strong, but in martial arts, you need to have long limbs and you can't be very muscular.
Hmm.
That's if you're striking. If you're grappling, short limbs are better, but I was striking. Okay. So I wanted to know, how do you get above average results with below average genetics? Okay. So that's what got my book, my first couple of books were about, more for athletes. Unfortunately, none of my clients are athletes.
Yeah.
They're not interested in that stuff.
Right.
Most of my clients are the general public, primarily in the 40 to 60 age range, interested in losing weight, having more energy, being more toned, et cetera. So those books completely did not apply to that market. But the book that I did write, the Stop Exercising book, that was exactly for my target market. How did I figure out what to write about? At that point, I was already writing my newsletter for about 2.5 years. So I had 2.5 years of data on what are my readers most interested in. I had statistics on open rates, so I didn't have to guess what my people would be interested in.
Sure.
I just looked at my open rates, which topics that I sent my newsletter about got the highest open rates. And those became my chapter titles. No guessing, you know?
Absolutely.
That's what I like. I like certainty and I like guarantees. So the reason the book did so well is because it was based on numbers, not opinions.
And you give free copies away also as a lead generating tool as well, right?
Depending on the audience. If it makes sense for me to give away that book to the audience, if it's a high probability audience, yes, I'll give that away for free. If it's a place where I want to get new speaking engagements, I'll give that away for free. For example, I go to networking events that are exclusively for human resources professionals. There are 110 human resources people in the room, and there is one fitness person. That's me.
Right.
So it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Who do I work with to set up my speaking engagements? Human resources. To them, absolutely, I give away my book for free. Because I want them to have that as a constant reminder in their office that there's a pretty good wellness speaker in their neighborhood.
And have you found authorship to also bring your expertise, your business to the next level as well?
Oh, no question about that. In personal training, the going rate for personal training in my neighborhood is in the $50 to $65 per session range. I'm in Markham. In downtown Toronto, it's a little bit different. So around my area, the rates are lower than what I charge. My rates are between $70 and $120 per session. Why don't people ever try to bargain or haggle with me over my price? Because I'm an author.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason that people haggle over price is because in the absence of anything else that distinguishes two people, the only thing that distinguishes them is price. Well,
yes.
That's in the absence of something distinguishing them. There is something distinguishing me and my trainers from my competitors. I wrote a book and my competitors didn't. Actually, I wrote 4 books. My competitors didn't. Okay.
And you also know your stuff. Like you are a smart cookie.
I know we're talking here about marketing.
Yes.
But on the nutrition, exercise, kind of things.
Yeah.
I still read and listen 2 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah. Like you know your stuff. I can't even believe the things that you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyways, and then with regards to what else is there? Once again, tell everybody what the link is if they want to read your book and start reading it, because it is a phenomenal book.
Thank you very much. You did participate in it, so that's what made it phenomenal.
Of course.
the title of the book is Stop Exercising the Way You Are Doing It Now. And the link to get a free PDF copy of the book is stopexercisingbook.com.
And I will have that in the show notes. So don't feel that if you don't listen to it, you have to replay it over and over again to get that. And then Igor, just finally, because I always like to ask people this, with regards to some of the best resources that you have used to really leverage your business, what are some of the ones that we should really be either reading or listening to or whatever?
So I'm a big, big, big bookworm. I read about 70 to 80 books per year on fitness and probably about 30 to 50 on marketing and sales.
Amazing.
So of all the books I've ever read, the best resources on marketing and sales, number one, sorry, in no particular order, but these are some of the top few. A very good book is called Book Yourself Solid by Michael Port.
Okay.
Fantastic. Another one is, I don't remember if it's How to Get Everything You Want Out of All You've Got or Getting Everything You Want Out of All You've Got. The author's name is Jay Abraham, J-A-Y Abraham. And of course, I can't say one book, but this is a bunch of books that you absolutely have to get by Dan Kennedy.
Yes.
Read everything Dan Kennedy produces. I mentioned his book earlier, No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profit. Get it. All of his No BS series is an entire No BS series book. Get it. You have to read Dan Kennedy's stuff.
Cool. I love it.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else that everybody should know about you, about how we can get in front of those people, how we can change our conversion rates?
Yeah. Hire a conversion rate optimization specialist. Don't try to do it yourself. Okay. I'm not technically inclined. I would much rather pay somebody the money for them to do it rather than do it myself. Don't hire designers. No offense to designers. They're nice people, but they're not very marketing or sales minded or not very metrics driven. Conversion rate optimization specialists are metrics driven. That's all they do. That's all they care about, leads.
And get the guarantee.
And get the guarantee. Yes. The website I used to hire them is upwork.com. But another good one is growthgeeks.com.
Growthgeeks. Okay.
Growthgeeks.com.
Those I'll put all these links websites. In the podcast notes.
Yeah. Those are two excellent websites for conversion optimization. On the topic of how to improve other stuff, you can, here's the way I improve anything. You track it. Okay. You set a very small goal for something that you want to improve, like in my public speaking engagements or my sales meetings, you set a very small goal of what you want to improve before the whatever you want to improve is. Then you do the thing, whatever the thing is, whether it's a speaking engagement or if it's a one-to-one sales meeting. And then you afterwards, you say what went well, what didn't go well, what could I do better?
Mm-hmm.
And then next time you should have more in the column of what went well and less in the column of what could I do better. That's a way to improve extremely rapidly.
Absolutely. And always be ready to make changes on the fly. Like don't, yes. Like as you said, this person, this is how it went. It wasn't so great. The next person you saw, you changed it. You didn't just keep repeating it for that day and then change it tomorrow.
Exactly. One other book I want to mention that just came to mind is Spin Selling, S-P-I-N Selling. And the author's name is Neil Rackham.
Okay.
R-A-C-K-H-A-M. Fantastic resource on face-to-face sales.
Interesting.
I absolutely get it as well.
Cool. All right, Igor, thank you so, so, so much for coming on the show and giving us so much information. I just love talking to you. You always make me feel like I'm a little bit dumber than I am, but in a good way. So I know where I have to go.
After failures, you feel pretty dumb too.
And then if people want to get in contact with you, if they want to get onto your newsletter list, what's the best way?
Sure. If somebody does want to get onto my newsletter list, email me at igor@torontofitnessonline.com. If you tell me that they came from your show, I'll also send you a list of specific tips on marketing and public speaking,
okay,
as well as real estate optimization. Okay.
Awesome.
That's my email. If there was somebody has questions like that, if somebody wants to check out my own website, it's fitnesssolutionsplus.ca.
Beautiful. And Facebook and Twitter?
Don't use it very much.
Okay.
It's just my personal account. You can look up my name, Igor Klebanov, and Twitter, TO Fitness Expert, but I pretty much just post my articles and speaking engagements there.
Cool, dude. All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks again so much. I'm sure we'll have you on sometime in the future again, because I can only imagine where you are now and where you're going to be even a year from now. You're just going to keep killing it.
Absolutely. That's the plan.
And that's a plan for everyone who's listening. So again, thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. As I said, the show notes will be available on my website, maximizedbusiness.ca. Definitely leave your reviews. If you have any questions that you want to ask me or you want me to ask Igor on your behalf, contact me on the website or on Facebook or Twitter. Otherwise, I hope you guys have a great weekend too. And Andrea's out. You guys are killer. Thank you as always for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.